It's time for another edition of KUOW's This Not Just In, the occasional series where we take a moment of your day to share a moment of history, a thrilling audio voyage of forgotten events from years past, events that have defined the people and character of the Pacific Northwest. Now here's your host, Felix Bunnell.
In 2008, Seattle Supersonics fans were bitter. After 41 seasons, the NBA team was gone. New owner Clay Bennett took it to Oklahoma City and changed the name to the Thunder. KJR sports radio host Softy blamed then-mayor Greg Nickels.
Why so much of a lack of interest in attending Sonic games in the last 10 years on your part? How would you respond to that?
First, Softy, in all due respect, I would call it a really cheap shot. Secondly, I would say that in the last 10 years, this has not been a very fun team to watch.
Mayor Nickels was right. The Sonics hadn't been very much fun to watch for a long time. In fact, to find real thrills, you had to go back to Friday, June 1st, 1979. That night, two games were underway at the same time. At the Kingdom in Seattle, the Mariners were partway through another lackluster baseball season. Their opponent this time? Expansion team rivals the Toronto Blue Jays. 5,000 ambivalent fans looked on. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, the Sonics were playing perhaps the most exciting game in the history of the team for the NBA World Championship.
I have never heard it this loud before in the Capitol Center.
Seattle was up 3-1 against the Washington Bullets in Landover, Maryland. It was a close game. As the fourth quarter wound down, voice of the Sonics, Bob Blackburn, brought home all the action.
Cuts around his man inside. This is out to DJ from 10. DJ fires. It's good. Dennis Johnson.
It had been an amazing season. The Sonics beat the LA Lakers and the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs, and radios blared with the team's unofficial theme song.
Super, super Sonics. Super Sonics.
Back at the Kingdom that evening, the Mariners scored a few runs against Toronto. That season, Seattle was battling Oakland for last place in the American League West. But at Game 5 in Landover, it all came down to the final seconds.
On the inbounds pass, fires in. Ballard, long one, top of the key. No good. Rebound, John Johnson, Sonics have it. 7 seconds, 6.
In the Kingdom, they actually halted the baseball game. Everyone, even the players on the field, stopped what they were doing and looked up at the big screen to watch the Sonics.
Pass to Gus Williams. 3, 2, 1. And the Supersonics win their first ever NBA championship. The ball sails high in the air.
Sonics fans everywhere cheered the victory.
The Sonics are ecstatic. The horns are honking around the Pacific Northwest.
But for Mariner fans, there were still a few more innings to go. The home team scored a couple more runs and beat the Blue Jays 7-2. Meanwhile, right outside the dome, Pioneer Square filled with revelers as a big celebration got underway. The next day, the Sonics came home to a hero's welcome at SeaTac, and then a parade downtown that drew 300,000 fans. NBA officials gave the team a golden trophy, and the mayor read a proclamation.
Now, therefore, I, Charles Royer, mayor of the city, etc., do hereby proclaim Monday, June 4th, as Sonics Day in Seattle.
But the Sonics days are done, and so is the Kingdom. About the only things left from 1979 are the Mariners, still struggling, and that golden NBA trophy, currently in storage at the Museum of History and Industry. I'm Felix Bunnell for This Not Just In.
Sonics basketball, from the opening tip-off to the final call. You can be with the people and hear them shout as you watch the shooting stars come out. Sonics, yeah, you're okay. You bring us all the thrills of the NBA. It's great to hear that Sonic boom hit the dome when the Supersonics play.